Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast contains adult language.
What is going on with you, by the way? In general, are you well and everything's good?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Oh, you know what? To be honest, Malcolm Turnbull has just kind of fucked my year, to be honest.
It's comedy festival season in Australia, which I know for most of you just means more photos of Dave Hughes around your town than normal. But for me, for my entire adult life, it's been my epicentre, my solar plexus, my true north. I remember standing in the kitchen of my flat in Toowoomba in Queensland in 1992, listening to comedian after comedian as they passed through the Triple J studios to mark the beginning of the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I stood because I wanted to be closer to the radio on the fridge. I wanted to be closer to the people inside the radio. I wanted to be one of them. Later that night, I was actually one of about a dozen people sitting around a bong. When through the smoke, I heard someone say they were heading to Melbourne the following Monday. It turned out there was a Marxist convention on in Melbourne at the same time as the festival, and the University Socialist Club had hired a bus and was heading down. So I joined the Socialist Club on campus quicker than you could say Great Leap Forward, and within days of hearing them on the radio, I was seeing comedians live in Melbourne. 3 years later, in 1995, I joined them when Corinne Grant and I did our first festival show together. It was a little something we called Dairy Bells, and it cemented our places in the Melbourne comedy community. That's a community I still love with all my heart. And every year, more and more people join the community. None of us ever seem to leave, really, which is good. But we get bigger with every passing year. The year Corinne and I did our first festival show was also the year Will Anderson did his first show. Dave Hughes did his first show. Rove did his first show, among many, many others. That year, there was about 90 shows in total. This year, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, as it's now known, will have about 600 shows. Many of those will feature big-name comics from the UK and America. There's a couple of Russian guys in town this year, which is exciting. And I'm producing a show for the first time in my life, which is very nerve-wracking. I'm producing a show for a lady called Shiralee Hood, who is an Aboriginal woman who won the Deadly Comedy competition a few years ago. So please come and see Shiralee in Melbourne if you can. Google it. I'll put links everywhere that you can get this podcast. In the meantime, though, I have assembled some interviews for you. I've done it in a couple of ways. Some of them are from my breakfast radio show with Matt Tilley. That's on KISS in Melbourne, 101.1 FM. Some of them are interviews I've done on my phone. So I found this app and I was practicing all afternoon with Tommy Little. I made him my guinea pig and it took me a few goes to get it going, but I knew he'd be the most patient person to wait for me to get myself organised. So we'll start off with a phone chat with Tommy Little and then we'll swing in to a bit of Will Anderson, Peter Hellyer, Tripod, just lots of the hits, comedy hits will keep coming at you, and we'll close it out with a phoner with Greg Fleet. Plus a late-breaking inclusion, Hughesy. I'm Michelle Laurie and this is the Nitty Gritty Committee, stories of the guts and the glory and today the comedy of life.
How is it now?
Yeah, it's better. It's better. you can totally tell you're recording. You beep.
Oh, do I? It's not just because I go, hi, how are you? I thought that would be part of it.
No. Your stage voice is not your number one tell. My festival show is done.
Donezo!
Like, it'll change. Melbourne shows always, it kind of changes a fair bit as you go, because I get weirdly Melbourne in the Melbourne shows. But yeah, in terms of being ready, I've already done it for a month, so it's good.
Oh, good. And you're not going to lose money because you got your mugs, right?
I'm not going to lose money because I'm a professional comedian. If I'm playing the Forum and losing money, something has gone fucking wrong.
But even during the 4 weeks, I mean, you're on top of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends how much I party.
Ah, yes.
That's my main expense.
Don't you wait to see if you've made any money and then decide how much you're going to party?
That sounds so boring. Why put so much certainty in your life when you can just drink and then hope? Hope you book balance in the end.
What sort of mugs? Do you have new mugs this year?
I've got two new mugs this year.
What you got?
I have one that says, "You mocking me horny."
Yeah.
Which I had a big debate with because I find it funny, but it's not very gangster.
Yeah, okay.
But then I just thought, well, I mean, one says, you know, some of the others just swear as well.
Yeah.
And keeping in that tradition, because the swear one sells so many more. People don't care for my witty little puns. They just want a C-bomb chucked in there.
Yeah, great.
So I have made one for all the lactards out there who are intolerant of dairy. Yeah. I've made another mug that just says, "Sick sip soy."
Good. Well, yeah, your extensive market research suggests that that will be a winner. So good for you.
Yeah. All the people with mud guts from drinking their full cream latte will be able to come up with pride and know that I'm embracing them.
How many festivals have you done? What are we up to?
I reckon this is number 10, maybe? Nine or 10?
Comes around fast, yeah?
Yeah, and every year it's the same cycle of fear where you start writing a show and go, I don't have any funny thoughts left. I've what thought about all the funny things.
What was your first festival show, though?
It was called, it was called Call Me, and it was when I idolised dudes like Louis Theroux, but also like Dave Gorman.
Yep.
And so I wanted to do weird shows. So I did this show where I left all these cards around that I got made up, thousands of business cards that had a number on it, and it said, "Call me and tell me a secret." And then I made a show based around all the messages that I got and played the messages throughout the show.
Did you get many?
I got about 100, I think.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, and so I kind of used about 15 in the show, 15 or 20,
really
and had videos and stuff, and yeah.
Because I'm at that stage where...
You did say that's really good.
Yeah.
I can say objectively it wasn't.
I meant it's good that you got 100 messages to that weird phone line that you put cards around. I didn't
see Right.
I assumed the show was excellent.
I think, you assume wrong. but I think also that was, 10 years ago. I think people were a bit more trusting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, things have changed so fast. Now I don't know that they would. Now they'd assume it's something weird like a show or...
Yes. Where I reckon then I could have said that I was a Nigerian royalty and I just needed you to give me one call to find out where a long-lost relative is, and I'd still get people.
Dinner to you guys. Yeah.
What's on the dinner table?
I had to order in because we've got no food, and I found a place that does schnitzels, and you know my kids love schnitzels, so they're having...
Schnitzels delivered.
Schnitties, delivered schnitties.
Wow.
And salad, so it's a healthy meal. You know, it's just a healthy midweek meal that any family in Melbourne is having. Maybe not delivered.
Do they whack a bit of tomato sauce on the schnitty, or are they having straight up schnitty?
I don't know. I think one of them's into sauce these days, and one isn't.
Yeah. My nieces are so mad for tomato sauce.
It makes everything better. I remember that as a kid. I used to put it on everything. It was sweet
but,
and...
they will just dip their hand in the little saucer and then lick their hand. And it pisses me off because it's actually what I want to do.
Yeah, I know. I have to stop Dali drinking gravy.
Oh, see, that's delicious as well.
Like just either getting at it with a spoon or just picking up the plastic container of gravy. I'm just talking to Tommy on the phone about your gravy. Do you want to say hi?
Hi, Tommy.
Oh, hey, Dali. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
How are you?
Good. What are you eating?
No, she doesn't care. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's really hard to get questions back from kids. I've learned that.
And she's got a schnitzel on the go too, so I should let her, get on with being unpackaged.
That is the point, though. If you ever find me and I'm drinking gravy, from an outside perspective, it'll look like I've given up on life. But I need you to know that it's the first time in my life I've been truly happy.
Okay. It's peak fulfillment. He's done it, guys. You don't understand. Yeah. He's made it.
Yeah, that guy with gravy all over his face has finally made it. He's given up on what people think of him and he's actually chasing happiness.
Now, if I could just get you back to making it in comedy for a moment, rather than just life in general. I'm at that point with Shirley's show where I forget how to get people to come to shows. Do you have any advice for us?
It's all changed so quickly. This is a big thing at Adelaide Fringe. You had, comedians saying that this was their worst year and they'll never come back.
Really?
But in that, they also said, they're doing nothing different, so crowds have just changed. But for me, I was like, you're doing nothing different. People buy tickets differently now. I mean, I used to flyer a lot and, hope for walk-ups and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think people are doing that anymore.
Is it just sort of Tinder?
Tinder, yeah. I've got a big profile on Tinder. I'm just swiping people into my show. I'm saying to them all, it's a date. Just buy a ticket and I'll see you there.
Yeah, cool.
I think YouTube's big though. In the sense that it's so easy for people to sample stuff. Like, they look through a program and instead of going, this or this or this, what do you think? Should we have a punt? They go, let's look them up on YouTube.
We'll
see a four-minute clip. And then we kind of know what we're in for.
Yeah, right. So make sure you've only got good YouTube stuff, I guess.
Well, I would just make sure you've got some.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Good advice.
Yeah, I mean, I think, also, I'm kind of guessing. None of this is factual.
You're so right about people wanting the word on their coffee mugs. It's hard. it's hard to turn down your advice, people.
They want that word on there so much they don't even call them coffee mugs. They walk up to me after the show and you go, got any mugs left?
You know people, Tommy Little. You know them. All right, I'm going to go and cut up some schnitzels, and I will see you in the next couple of days in the mix.
Okay, love you, Michelle Ori.
Thank you, love you, bae. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. No! For me, I burst into song every now and then. Just like that. I'll just do the tail word. We're joined at the moment by Tripod, by the way. Hi, Tripod.
Hi, guys.
You're a proper singer.
Thanks, mate.
I have a beautiful memory, Michelle, of you, and I'm sure you remember it too, playing it out. We did a fundraiser the first time we ever went to Edinburgh in the late 90s.
And my other favourite memory of that time is the flight that you guys booked to Edinburgh. It was so cheap that I think you stopped about 13 times between Melbourne.
It was a 48-hour flight.
Oh, wow.
We're going to Edinburgh via everywhere. And
Garuda!
I have a strong memory of the safety video being a bit busted. it just didn't inspire confidence
in
me. Because I'd never been to
to Edinburgh, none of my friends had ever been. You were like the first out of our crew. And when you got back, it was these tales of Edinburgh, including the 2-day trip. Amazing.
That you basically awesome. Just go to Edinburgh so that when you get home, everyone thinks you're good.
That's it.
Shall we do this one?
Maybe we'll see.
Scott and Gatesy on guitar. Yon on just hot
on,
looks
on
over
face.
There.
Nervous vocals. Yon's usually on trumpet. He's learning on the job.
20 years he's had to learn an instrument.
I'm getting better. This is a bit. This is a little. This sort of speaks of our age, I suppose. This one, you know, we've been around. We've learnt some things, and it's this song. It's kind of for the ladies, guys. I think you know you might not enjoy it, but you will. You will learn something. Okay.
I feel like I should have a bourbon to listen to this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's pretty
sultry. So yeah, just a little warning, ladies. If this doesn't get you going, you're dead inside. You really need to. The search is done. You've fought and you have won. You've jostled hard and now you've got the prize. It's your day. You've caught the great bouquet. Now here I am before your very eyes. I'm handy round the house. I'll tear then repair your blouse. You found yourself a dilf. Dilf. My youth is past. My experience is vast. I'm sensitive but solid as a rock. I always replace lids. I'm incredible with kids. I know just how to clean and oil a walk. I'll love you all night long, and in the morning I'll change the linen. You found yourself a dilf.
Dilf. Gonna break it down for you, Liz.
D does things. I is into you. L, long term. F, the man you'd like to father your child. Dilf. The women at the park, they circle me like sharks. They can't tell the real man from a mile. That's right. And no one can see
as I pack the car and buckle in my child. Woo!
They all want a piece of it, 'cause I've proved I can commit. But you can relax, secure in your tracky decks.
That's right, honey, you just relax. I still love you.
You've snagged yourself a dilf. Dilf. We're looking at a dilf. Dilf.
Gonna break it back down again for you, baby.
D is for our destiny. I for the love I have for you. L for the love I have for you. F for the love I have for you.
Yay, Tripod! Back for the Comedy Festival 20-year anniversary show. Has it been that long? And yet I look at the four of us and go, yep.
Certainly.
It's radio, though. We could be seven.
You're right. I've been circling you like a grey nurse for years, you three. This is exciting. Whole festival?
whole festival.
24th.
Every show great. Different. Every single night different. We've got 101 songs. There's a songbook of 101 of our songs. And we've got a bingo.
Ladies and gentlemen, Al Murray, pub landlord. And you fought in the last British election.
Yeah, I ran in the election.
I say fought. It was a battle and you did very well in it.
I netted a full 318 votes.
Well played, sir. What was your party?
We were called the Free United Kingdom Party, or FUKP for short. I don't know if I can say that out loud as the acronym.
It's fine.
I think
fine.
You can.
So fuck up.
It's an acronym, right?
Yeah, it's an acronym.
It is, guys.
And,
yeah.
That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, yeah. And I ran and it was very odd. It was an odd experience. I didn't run at home, so there were no friends or family involved. So these were actual 318 genuine people who thought I was a viable option.
Wow.
But I ran against with a party back home called UKIP, who are like a populist anti-European party. So I ran.
They're sort of extreme right-wing party, right?
Nationalists, you know. Yeah, they're not as extreme as your Reclaim Australia, but they're like kind of they're not to my taste. And they've got the leader of their party is a guy called Nigel Farage, and the last five elections he's run for Parliament and not got in. So I ran in the same constituency as him, the same electorate as him, and he didn't get in. So
got 300 of his votes.
And
we know
I got
that.
318 of his
in
votes.
In our country, if you get a certain number of votes, you get a bit of money. Your party. Did you reach that threshold?
No, I lost a bit of money.
Right, okay.
It's the best 500 quid I've ever spent, though.
Right.
Because the publicity.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. You've got people going, you're just doing it for publicity. And you're like, I'm in show business. You know, if you're gonna try and knock me down by saying I'm after publicity, you've really got to try harder.
Yes.
In the great tradition of comedy, you lost money.
Yeah, I lost money.
Yeah,
and,
good.
You know, it's what you're supposed to do, isn't it?
Yeah. What's this show? Is this Pub Landlord, show we're doing this year?
Yeah, and it's an hour of stuff. So if you know what I'm kind of about, if you know that what the Pub Landlord is like, then you probably get what you're after.
We love
and
the
if
Pub
you don't,
Landlord.
If you don't know what you're in for, don't sit at the front.
Isn't he a little bit like the guy you were trying to keep out of Parliament, though?
Well, that was possibly the reason we did it. Yeah,
a wonderful irony there.
Your sitcom was awesome. Do you still do that?
No,
I remember
Yeah, Greg Fleet did it. Yeah, was Steve-O, the Australian in it?
Yeah, he was the Australian kind of dude hanging around the British pub. It was it's great. I saw it not long ago, so it still
is
airs
still
here somewhere. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, man.
That's brilliant. I should get paid.
Yeah. No, knowing you have to pay them.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It might run a lot currently. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in early, man. I know you're jet lagged.
It's all right.
But
Thank you
bought your daughter this time for vegan.
Yes, I bought my
16-year-old. It's Christmas is here. Comedy festival. I keep saying that, Peter Hellyer. You get it, yeah?
I get it, yeah. Depends how you look at it. I mean, comedians, it's either a comedian's Christmas if you just want to have a good time and celebrate, but I prefer to see it as a comedian's Olympics where the hard work is about the payoff.
You're right.
Hang on,
so right. Have you been tapering?
I've waxed down, so it'll, as you know, it's the 1%ers, Michelle.
Tried not to be funny for like at least 2 weeks beforehand just to really store it up inside you.
I'm starting to lose confidence that I'll even come good in time, to be honest.
Really? An over-taper. But you got kids, you're getting all the dad jokes out. That's part of a taper, isn't it?
It is. Well, you know, it's funny. I with the kids, the older they get, I start thinking how much should they still be part of the show? Because they can...
Yes.
One of their friends started YouTubing some of my material. From other years.
And telling them your dad said this about you?
Yeah, there's a bit of that going on. Yeah, because I did this long routine years ago about sending my, threatening my older son when he was quite young. He was only like two or three, take him to the naughty boys home.
Babe, can I tell you I've started using that on my son.
The naughty boys
just
home?
Just in the last 2 weeks, I remembered the naughty boys home.
Yeah, how's
Listen,
it going?
It's going well so far, but I'm prepared to go all the way like you did. Listen how far Peter had to go in the end.
So my boy, he was... two or three, he would not go to sleep, and he needed his nap, you know. And so I said, "Well, you're going to go to Naughty Boys Home," and he said, "No, I'm not going to sleep." I go, "Okay." I thought, bloody hell, he's not going to sleep. So
they're calling it bluff. Yeah.
I know. So I put him in the car.
Good work.
I thought, I'll just be, you know, we're in the driveway, and you know that'll be enough to freak him out. He's like, "Nut, he's still going. No, I'm not going to sleep." I go, "Okay, well, you know, we got a Naughty Boys Home, and I'd already said you're allowed one toy. That's the rule. Naughty Boys Home. I don't make the rules." He's like, "How long will I be there?" I "I don't know. Until you go to sleep, I guess. And they'll call me and I'll come get you, I guess. It could be a day. It could be a few weeks. I don't know." And so we start driving off. I thought, as soon as I start driving, you'll say, "No, okay, I'll go to sleep, Daddy." And no, he did not. And
just possum eyes in the rear vision calling you bluff.
And we're down at Mornington, right? We're down at Mornington Peninsula. It was over summer. And so I'm driving around Mornington just going, "What am I doing? What?"
What time is this?
This is like during the day. It's like an afternoon nap. So
right.
I was like pulling over every like 50 metres going, "Okay, buddy, you're going to go to sleep, yeah?" He goes, "No, I'm not going to go to sleep." Bloody hell. I get on driving and I thought, how do I deal with it? I can't lose. And I end up thinking, okay, I need to find a place. I need to put him to a driveway. I need to find a place that looks scary enough to be a Naughty Boy.
But closed, hopefully, so you don't have to go
closed.
In.
Exactly. So I think, but it's Mornington. Everything's quite nice. The beach houses down there.
Yes, of course.
But then I think, Frankston's 20 minutes away. So I drive to Frankston, and I find this perfect place. It's got like the steel gates, and it's got like in my memory, there's like a cloud over that property, just a line that's raining with thunder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I pull into the driveway. And I go, "Okay, buddy, this is it. This is the Naughty Boys Home." And he goes a bit quiet. And I said, "You want to go home?" He goes, "No, I don't want to sleep." I'm like, okay. So I get out of the car. I go, "What am I doing? I'm going to have to, you know." And I've got my hand on his handle. And then I hear a voice from the patio of the place going, "Can I help you there, mate?" I go, "Is this number like 36? Is this..." And he's like, "Nah, this is 522, mate." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Yep. Okay, wrong place, sorry." So I drive back, not a word is spoken. But then when I get home, there's a van in the driveway, because we had called Mr. Antenna earlier on,
right,
because they had the problem. And I said, "Oh, they've come, that's it, they've come to get you."
Oh,
that's
my God.
That's a Naughty Boys Home van. And he's like, "Okay, I will go to sleep.
You had one shot left.
I was about to give up and say, because he said to me, like, "There is no Naughty Boys Home, is there?" On the way back. And I was like, "Well, we'll see."
That's what you want to believe.
Roll the dice, buddy. Roll the dice.
This is so brilliant, because now I know that if Louis really pushes me, I must call Mr. Antenna.
Yes. Yes.
It's very important.
Yeah, have a van around. Yes.
It's interesting what you say.
Hi, I'm Mia Friedman, and I have no filter. Not in life, not in work, and especially not on my podcast.
I've heard you're very good at sex. I told you that before, and it always makes you blush. But it's what I've heard.
I don't know what to say to that, Mia.
Well, imagine
Friedman.
If I said, "I've heard you're really shit."
Every fortnight, I speak to some of the world's most interesting people about life, their career, what makes them tick. From Elizabeth Gilbert...
You know, I sort of did whatever work had to be done.
...to Sam Armitage.
It just happens in my life all the time. You go viral, it blows up. You take yourself off social media for a few days and people move on and find somebody else to hate.
It's the podcast where too much information is never enough. Subscribe to No Filter in iTunes or your favourite podcast app.
That's Will Anderson, the person who you can hear talking. He's
Hello.
Just trying to get his headphones working and everything
I think
like
might
that.
Have done some media before.
I did it. He's I was like, I could not hear myself in my cans.
I love
Michelle.
That you're self-servicing. You can handle your own cans, and I love that about
Mate,
you.
Mate, I like to handle my own cans, and I think it's important for men to handle their own cans
I know,
occasionally.
But you'd
check
be amazed
for lumps.
How many don't know how to handle their own cans?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you've got to handle your own cans before you're branching out to other people's cans.
But I was
as far
trying
as
to
I'm
help
concerning.
You. Can you handle another man's cans?
Oh, Matt handles other people's cans.
Well, that's. I mean, Matt's been
in the Wu-Tang Clan. We're here.
Yeah.
Were you handling their cans?
It was a right fondle fest.
Yeah. All their cans. Well, here's the thing, though, Matt. You're a professional, and I would trust you to handle my cans. Right. If you were like some work experience guy.
I'm a can-handled man.
That's what I look at you. I'm like, this is a man who's been around radio stations. Yeah. This is a man who's handled cans from back when they were old school cans. Oh, yeah. Not just these modern cans.
No, they were actually tin cans.
Tin cans on bits of string. That's what radio was when he started.
That's
and
what
he handled
I am.
Those.
Yes. And you should have seen him with the clan, Wu-Tang Clan. They were that stoned, Will. They were off their faces and gorgeous about it,
I mean,
but they could barely handle their own cans, if you know what I'm saying.
One of the clan said just this for the entire interview: no beef, no pork.
I feel like one of the clan
is vegan.
I feel like one of the clan, to be honest, has just been saying that up the back.
Yeah,
like I mean, I love when the Wu-Tang Clan comes to Australia because the best thing about it is like half of the originals can't travel because of like the gun laws and like you know having criminal things and like they basically can't make it. So there's always like a ringing or two. There's always like just like oh, this is me, mate, Gary. Gary's been he's been up the back of he's been totally woo for ages.
There's one of the old Wiggles in there, you know, there's a couple of high five kids in there.
And now the thing is seeing all the ghetto kids from Malvern and stuff come out
to see the clan
because we, you know, we don't really have any real.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm a hip hop fan and like, you know, you do really understand.
We're very light though.
Oh, do you realize it when you go overseas? Because I was listening to Jay-Z's new album when I was in Washington doing some gigs and it had just come out and there was this like great track on it where I suddenly realized I cannot be singing any of this out loud. Like, you know, when you're walking around kind of humming the thing and you're like, oh, no, white guy,
you
can't be saying any of these words. You've got to do your own radio edits. You've got
That's the thing. They must come here and think they've walked into prom night at their own concerts.
I know, it's crazy.
And because you work in the States a lot, you these days you live there most of the time, you spend most of your time touring and doing stand-up and living the stand-up dream. However, this year things have gotten really difficult for you because of one selfish man.
My local Member of Parliament.
Is he your local?
Malcolm Turnbull.
Oh,
Malcolm Turnbull.
Right.
Who had like no, like just ruined my life with this double dissolution.
Right.
Like it's like he doesn't even care about people in his local electorate who are just trying to make a decent living. But I want to have
an
early
I think
election.
Everyone in his electorate has made quite a decent living if he represents where he lives,
you're
or does he skip across to another electorate?
No, that's a good point. He's made. I mean,
you're going okay.
We're all doing fine,
but the thing is, of course, Will has to do the Gruen series for the election whenever the election is.
Mm.
We don't know yet.
Well, it's a 102-day campaign for an election that hasn't been called.
Yeah, it's going to be July 2. There's absolutely no way it's not going to be July 2.
Okay.
So you just wouldn't announce all this sort of stuff and not make it July 2.
Why don't you just pay the crossbenchers to pass that legislation, then he's stuffed?
I mean, I feel like that's against the law. I haven't looked it up. Like, I mean, I will need to check a lawyer, but I imagine paying off politicians.
What's never happened before?
But I'm not sure you're just allowed to directly do it like that. I think I've got to get a lobbying group together and then they've got to make relationships in Canberra.
Surely we can
and then,
donate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've got to
some
donate.
Money,
and
then commas.
That'd be what it would be. Like 18 months from now when they finally publish the donations, it'd be like, gee, Will Anderson's stand-up show and Gruen have donated big money to Ricky Muir.
Is it tax deductible?
And Clive Palmer got a bit too.
Just any random element. Actually, Ricky Muir, I love Ricky Muir because we accidentally elected somebody who represents us, but I also love him because it knocks me down. I'm from a place called Denison, which has 354 people, and I was always confident, like cocky. Even I will say about the fact that whatever else happened in my career, I would always be the most famous person from Denison. I reckon I'm number two now.
Is he from Denison?
He's Denison.
Number two in all the, you know, tangents of that phrase.
Right.
Do the Andersons know the Muirs? I mean, is there any talk around town?
Inbreeding?
It's hard not to.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 354 people. It's hard to be snobby about who you hang out with.
You've got two of the same nanas.
Right.
Is that how this is working? You and Ricky Muir? All right, okay. Wow, that's exciting. Do you ever, like, catch up with him? Have you Facebooked him and gone, dude, what about us?
Let's have a Denison night.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we could.
Mate, if you don't, you're crazy.
I mean, I should have a Denison night, like, of my show during the comedy festival where I invite everyone from Denison to come and see the show and then still have to only have the room a third full.
The rest of us can come and look at all of
mean?
You. Yes.
In Denison, like, is there a town hall where the whole town can go?
Yeah, we have a town hall.
Right.
No, a town hall and tennis courts.
Right.
Yeah, no shops. Have to go to Hayfield for the shops.
Wow.
Yeah, but...
tennis we can keep local.
We can do a tennis court.
I love that.
And we can have a town hall, but
you
that's
You cannot
it.
Get a racket or a ball, and but you can play tennis yeah. in Denison.
Who's your most famous tennis player? I'm thinking Ken Rosewell, perhaps, or
well, it's probably either Will or yeah. Ricky Muir.
Yeah, I reckon Ricky Muir.
Section
just
11.
Just again on a guess. Like my legal thing before, I'm going to say Ricky in that I'm not very good. I have osteoarthritis in my hips. So I'm going to say Ricky might be able to hit a tennis.
He's better than you these days. Mate, how is the arthritis going? You're very nimble. And I honestly, you never whinge about it. So I forget until you bring it up, something like that, you know?
I was interested.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I was actually, there was a news article that came out yesterday or the day before, and it was about that 3 million Australians live in some sort of chronic pain in Australia. So it's kind of the underground thing that nobody is talking about. But like a huge amount of our population every day doesn't sleep properly because, you know, their pain wakes them up or has to manage their pain either by drugs or something else throughout their life. And because it's chronic pain and because it is ongoing, I think that it is one of those things that's kind of, it's almost like a hidden pain.
We just got a deal.
Well, you must get, because people, I guess you would think people would get sick of hearing about it. That's the kind of thing, though, that seems to me like it could potentially, if you let it, drive you crazy.
Huge on depression, apparently.
Yes.
Like massive. People who have chronic pain are really susceptible to depression.
Because,
And it's like one of those things where, I mean, funnily enough, every time I talk about it, the amount of letters and emails and stuff that you get.
Yeah.
Like when I was talking about using medical marijuana, I got the weirdest letters from people. I had this 80-year-old woman write to me and she's like, I've never really liked you. And I was like, well, don't start with that. I mean,
you know. That's how 80-year-old women start a letter.
Right. She goes, I've never really liked you, but now I like you. And I'm like, okay, quick turnaround. Good. What happened?
Yeah.
She goes, I have never broken the law in my entire life, but I have the same thing as you, osteoarthritis in my hips. And I'm like, oh, great. Also, like, A, I didn't like you. B, you have the same hips as an 80-year-old woman. So really loving this email so far,
and
Grandma.
And C, I think C, you're both on the same drug. Right. Is that right?
And this is what she said. She said that the only thing that helped her hips was medical marijuana. And she felt so ashamed of it because it's illegal here for her to use that. And so she was really grateful that I'd spoken about it. But it was the sign-off of the letter that I loved the most. She goes, and by the way, I'm 80. I've never broken the law. I've paid taxes all my life. And I make biscuits every day.
Right. Well, that's why she's got the hips, because she's bent over a stove for 60 years.
I think she wants to encourage Will not to give up the baking.
Right.
Yeah, and I would. You know? I think maybe they might be cookies. And I think they might be medical cookies.
That's a good point.
Do you have any of those? I saw in a documentary about Colorado, right? In the States, that's the big medical marijuana place.
That's right.
They have it in lollipops.
It's like Gloria Jeans.
Yeah, different ways like that. Do you have any of those?
So I do. Denver is the city in the U.S.
Coincidentally,
where I am most popular. And so I've done like 5 tours through Denver.
Right.
And they now have legal marijuana. So it's not just medically legal marijuana, but you can just go to a pot shop, like a bottle shop. So you just walk in, all the stuff's there. You can just pick what you want. They'll tell you through. And it's all sorts of like edibles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the funniest thing about it is because it is like just legal at the shows, because people know about me, I'll go to the shows. And then afterwards, people will just come up and give you that little secret handshake and put something in your hand. So I did a double show on a Saturday night, and I was meant to be flying out the next day. And I changed my flight from the morning until the evening because I woke up and I was like, well, I'm not going to get through all this. And
I can't take it with me.
I can't take it with me, and I'm not a quitter. My dad did not raise me that way, so I set my alarm early, and I got into it, and I made a day of it.
Oh, my God.
It's funny for a nation that had prohibition.
Yeah.
They're now like encouraging.
I saw some of those lollipops and that are like really potent as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you do have to be careful. And this is the thing about legalizing it. I mean, but the problem is, like in Australia at the moment, when you talk about this issue, if you think that prohibition is for us not to be doing it, then it's already failed. Because Australia per capita has the highest rate use of marijuana in the entire world. So per capita, highest rate in the entire world.
It's hard to get the hard drugs to us. We're a long way away.
And we do love our pot. Like, I know that in a suburban context, a pot is very big at your family barbecues and all that kind of stuff.
And has been for decades.
Yeah, we love our pot.
It's one of those things where, so it's already happening.
Yeah.
So what they've managed to do over there is, like in Colorado, for example, they made $25 million in taxes in the first, and it's been great for tourism, obviously. They've got a lot of tourism out of it. But the biggest thing is a third of people who are on prescription, who have had overdosed of prescription medication, a third's gone down. So it's like saved lives.
Right,
like,
which is where chronic pain comes into play. And my mum was a chronic pain nurse. The worry is, are all these medical marijuana lollipops going to boost up diabetes, you know, and like it's the administrative way.
That is a good point.
And like
you've got to consider that, Matt. That is a good point.
Smoke it because we're trying to stop smoking. Yeah. Like the best way to ingest it's going to be what? Lettuce?
Medical marijuana, but lettuce? In seriousness.
I mean, well, it's already green.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's already a plant.
Parsley. It's the devil's parsley,
It could be the new kale. Just whack it on your salad or your scrambled eggs.
In all seriousness, you've maintained your girlish figure, Will. You're very slim. I mean, you don't have munchies. You don't look like you're eating burritos all day.
Let's clear that up.
Well, you've got to be the one you've got to do, because they can take all those things out of various things. But the one you've got to be careful about, there's this one that is like a medical popcorn, right?
Oh, funny.
That's problematic, because what happens is you have like some of the medical popcorn and then you just, geez, I'd like some popcorn. That one's a bit of an endless circle, I've got to be honest with you.
Gosh.
A friend of mine who has a sleep apnea device and has to put it in every night so that he doesn't die in his sleep. And it's quite a big, like, mask.
My dad's got one.
Right. Yeah. And it's a big procedure, right? And he was over and he had tried some of this popcorn and we'd been like kind of, he'd not known about the fact to stop eating the popcorn when you get the munchies.
Yeah.
And I'd gone to bed and he tells me, because he's staying at my place, he tells me he looked around the apartment for half an hour to find this thing that... it had to be in the apartment. It's not like someone's broken in, unless Bane from the Batman movies has broken in for a new mask. Like, no one's stealing a sleep apnea device.
Yeah.
He had it in the whole time.
On his face?
On his face.
Oh, like when you can't find your sunnies.
He only found it when he tried to eat more popcorn and realised.
So you do have to be careful. I'm not...
Oh, God, weekends at your place have always been great, but I think they got better.
Yeah, but it saves lives. I mean, that's the thing. If it's regulated, what we do here, it's a black economy. So essentially at the moment, all the money's going to drug dealers, to criminals and stuff. You could put it into the health system, you could tax it, and you could regulate it in the same way as we regulate alcohol and tobacco and all those sort of things.
Because that's going well.
Yeah, but at least we can pay some taxes now, is my point.
I hear you. It's like a consumer tax.
If we can't get our biggest corporations to pay tax, can we at least get our drug users to, Matt?
Right,
that's
exactly.
That's all I'm asking.
I agree.
It's a new GST.
It's a noble position.
Let's put the green in GST. That's what I say.
Which brings us back to the election, because you're saying it's going to stuff your year. Can't you just say no to Gruen? Or you feel compelled to have
you
to?
Can't say
it's
no.
Part of the nation's.
Ruin.
Oh, well, I'm just saying it's part of the nation's build up to the election. I love it, but
I mean, I can say no, Matt. That's
I don't want to be
truth.
The boss of you.
Don't, well, I mean, could you? Because sometimes I feel like I don't make great decisions for myself, and things have gone well for you. So if you've got some spare time, could you make a few decisions?
I'm not
for
election
me?
Dependent, unless they call a state one. Then I'm all over.
Right.
Yeah. No, but we need you. I feel like Gruen actually feels.
Yeah, I do too.
A really important...
Because the chaser bob in and out, but in terms of that accountability piss-take angle...
And filter. It actually serves a very serious purpose, I think, to filter all the bullshit in a way that we can understand it, assess it, make decisions about it.
Yeah, the problem is that we kind of had... We expected, because the kind of assumption was going to be it was August, September, October, and so we kind of asked people, and the ABC asked us to keep those sort of months free. Mm. But the problem is, you know, that's a big crew, a lot of staff, all those sort of people... Some of them have other things to do. So at the moment, we're making a lot of frenzied phone calls.
Right.
Todd's in the Himalayas, it turns out. We didn't even know
that.
Like,
of course.
Todd hasn't got back to me for 3 days. I'm like, where's Todd? And someone goes, the Himalayas. And I'm like,
Russell's around. I saw him on Friday. He's around.
He'd be having a lunch.
He's fine.
Russell's fine.
He's got a lanyard on. Yeah. He's just having a lunch somewhere. He's fine.
Yeah, that's right. Russell's at the footy with a lanyard on or at the GP with a lanyard on or at a lunch with a lanyard on.
He's available.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, you got a lanyard? He's going to be there.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But we may need to do a couple of episodes on Everest or something if Todd wants to be involved.
Be cold in those t-shirts up on the top of Everest, you would think.
I mean, he'd have a thermal. You know what I mean? Like, he could have a thermal
Imagine
t-shirt.
Imagine the t-shirts he'll bring back, though. Oh, exciting. I can't wait to see them. The Himalayan t-shirts. Right.
Be a bit goofy, I think.
Can't wait. We love you so much.
Thanks, Will.
Let's just tell everyone some stuff about your show, though.
Okay.
Fire at Will is what it's called. You are, at this moment, 5-time winner of the People's Choice Award Melbourne Comedy Festival. I assume that will move to 6 in a couple of weeks. Be fast. Be quick when you book, because this you sell out every year. Even though you go bigger and bigger rooms, more and more people come. So get your tickets very quick. Buy early, buy many. To fire at Will.
I mean, you don't have to buy many. Just buy the acceptable amount. Buy however many you need.
Buy as many as you need. Maybe 17. One extra.
Don't buy more than you need.
Are you sure?
No, I don't want empty seats.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm an excessive person.
Buy one for yourself.
All right.
Oh, I better need a spare seat in case I want to lie down. Or
I had all those leftovers. I put all these homeless guys in. I thought that would be
What if I pull on the tram?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I could pull on the tram, guys.
If you feel like you're going to pull on the tram, get one extra.
Thank you. All right, time to place a call to Fleety. The fact is I've already placed this call to Greg Fleet, but I wanted to drop in and let you know that it sounds a lot like I'm heavy breathing in this conversation, but actually I was standing in my backyard next to the chook pen and my chook was scratching at something, so please believe me, I haven't just, like, dialed in a breather to Greg Fleet. Not that I think he'd mind too much.
I'm good. I've finally got my app working, so I'm recording you. You must be warned.
You're recording me now?
I'm recording you right now.
Okay.
But don't disgrace yourself, please. Or do, but know that it will be broadcast. But you're, I mean, the festival ready, right? Because you've already done it.
Yeah, I've got to... it's a very first world problem, but I've got to lose some time out of the show, and it's really like, it's murderous. You know, when you kind of, it's like you keep going, oh, well, I actually, in Adelaide, I lost a whole chunk. I just went, I'll just take that chunk out. And my tech, who'd been watching the show every night, said, gee, it makes your family life seem really depressing, like without the fun bit, you know. So I was like, oh, fuck, can't do that. So there's like, so the next theory, which Roz and I are going to try tonight, is to cut a little bit out of everything.
Yeah, right. Don't cut the misery, though. That's not the Greg Fleet way.
No. There's got to be misery. But it was like, there's so much misery that I just chose to cut the only fun bit and went, oh, no, I better put that back.
Because it changed, though, didn't it? It was originally supposed to be kind of from the book, from the most recent book.
Yeah, and look, a lot of it still is, but it's more kind of concerned now with what makes someone behave that way. And then... what happened after, as well as some of the stuff from the book. You know, there's a couple of gory stories for the fans of that stuff. But it was originally just going to be, you know, Greg Fleet 101, a whole lot of bleak drug-taking stories, and it's not really that anymore at all. It's quite beautiful now.
That's just so, I mean, whatever made you think in an hour you could fit in that plus what makes a person act that way and what...
Oh, don't get me wrong, I talk fast. And there's also, have you ever seen the film Magnolia?
Yeah.
You know that bit in Magnolia where suddenly this Amy Mann song comes on and all the characters kind of mouth along to it and they cut between characters? That's how the show starts. I do a whole bit of that. So there's this weird homage to Magnolia at the start, which takes up a good 5 minutes. And also makes everyone go, oh, I'm going to feel like this isn't going to be funny.
Yeah, but don't cut that out, for Christ's sake.
No, it's great. I love that bit. it sets the tone of weirdness, and it's like, you know. Yeah.
What does make a person act that way? And what way are we talking about in particular?
Well, that we're just the drug addiction and the, you know, the, yeah, right, the lying and the lying, and then, you know, eventually the theft and all that stuff, you know. So, yeah, what makes someone, you know, who has, you know, ability and all that kind of stuff, behave in such a ridiculous way and for so long, for like three decades. I mean, Bob Franklin said to me once, he said he just read this great, this excellent book called The Failure of the War on Drugs by this guy called, God, I can't remember his name. There's a great TED talk by him called Everything You Thought You Knew About Addiction Is Wrong. Mm. And but Bob said to me, look, he said, from what I can understand, Fleet, most drug addicts stop after 10 years or die. He said, why did you keep going for three times that long?
Why did you? Yeah. I think you're more likable than most drug addicts too, and so people like to take care of you, don't they?
Well, that certainly was the case, but I mean, that happens less and less as time goes on. And what I've been made very aware of since stopping, and it's probably only through stopping that I would notice any of this, is how much, you know, there is a great deal of love and a great deal of, you know, goodwill for me out there. But there is also a lot of people who have either been pushed over the edge or have never accepted what was going on, or I don't know, I'm not exactly sure what, but there's also way more anger and you know, need for punishment out there than I thought existed.
Really? For you?
Yeah, I know. How can that be? Well, it's marvellous.
I actually am surprised, actually.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised because, I mean, I'd just got used to behaving that way for so long. I thought, surely everyone thinks it's charming. Apparently not.
I don't know if everyone thought it was charming, but I thought everyone was kind of like, it's just fleety.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Zen about it, but nah.
Well, it sort of seems like there are certain people that now that I've got it together, I can fully understand people assuming it's just a short-term thing and it's going to fall apart again, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And but the other thing is there seems to be people who, and I know this is the case, there are certain people who at various points, especially over the last two or three years where there were a few false springs or false dawns where it was like, you know, this is it, this time for real, everything's great for a couple of months and then it fell apart. People who felt like they were in on that process and helping me get through that, when it went to shit, they were very disappointed, obviously. But now that I've managed to get it together again, I think, and this is kind of childish and strange, but it's almost like people feel annoyed that their version didn't work and they're really resentful of this one. Which is really childish, but if you think about comics and what they're like, it's very much how a comic would be. Like, you know.
I guess. I mean, don't you think it's strange that we all, and I'm as guilty of it as anyone, that we've all kind of bought into you a bit, like we feel like we own a bit of you.
Oh, but I love that. Thank God that exists, because otherwise I'd be the loneliest man on earth. But you know,
we all feel like it's okay to read a book about addiction and then just kind of give you a bit about it. And, you know?
Yeah, well, that's good. But, I mean, you know, I think, you know, it's a bit Paul Keating in that I kind of feel like this is a victory for the true believers, because there are certain people, and I count you as one of them, who stuck with me through whatever. And, you know, there have been times when people are very pissed off with me or whatever, but people like you and Mooney and you know, quite a lot of people, a lot more people than I thought, have stuck by it. And that's beautiful. And if this is, you know, if I now achieve as much as I can and do all the right things, and then I feel I really want to share it with those people.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Now, without going into detail about your love life,
yeah,
I remember you telling me not long ago that there was a lady in your life who is great, mm-hmm,
yeah,
but that her friends, when they found out that you were a couple, accused her of having a breakdown.
Yeah, and said things to her like, hey, you know, all right, well, I just want you to know that when it goes to shit, I've got your back. Not if, the when. And I imagine those people are furious as I sit back and sip some of our wine in our beautiful new home.
Never in all my days have I heard anyone accused of having a breakdown because of who they chose to go out with. That's
crazy. I know. She's had a breakdown and he's just burning her bank account.
The But it's all going well by the sounds of the fact that you're drinking your wine, that you're sharing wine.
I'm just sitting at my desk in the office looking at the whiteboard with some of the things I have to get done this week.
Have you got a whiteboard?
Got a whiteboard, got a planner on the other wall. Yeah, okay. Whatever.
Okay, this is happening. This is happening.
It's amazing. It's really great. It's really lovely. But we want to have you over for dinner.
Yeah, and I want to come. Let's do it.
Great.
Let's get this festival up and running and let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know, we'll, you can bring someone or not bring someone, whatever you want. And we had a weird combo the other night. We had two people who Ross knows from yoga, who teaches yoga with, and Peter Milne.
Great!
But it was fantastic. It was really great.
I went to a couple of yoga classes with Roz like about 20 years ago, and I didn't know, like I knew who she was, she didn't know who I was, but she just did the most amazing headstand and I was like, fuck, I gotta go, like I'm just not up to this.
That's what I'm like.
Yeah, she was just on her head for like an hour, and I was like,
yeah, fuck that. I've been, I did one class, she did ran me through a class, which was fine, it was very low level and it was here, it wasn't like out in public.
Right. Oh,
but I've been doing tennis lessons with a guy called Dieter.
Wow.
I know, I've lost my mind.
You've got a whiteboard and you're doing tennis lessons.
I know. I sent you a photo of me playing tennis, you'll laugh your head off.
Cop that, doubters. Cop that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, he's had a breakdown now. He started playing tennis. Or it's like, Greg Fleet, it's some really elaborate scam to try and get hold of the Australian Open trophy in hockey. It's a really long game I'm playing.
Yeah, somehow he gets people to hit heroin at him. I don't know how
he does it. It's from when he was inside and they used to chuck tennis balls over the wall full of gear.
I was thinking that the other day. Was that ever real? Or was that like
I think so. Oh, no, that was real, because I knew a guy who was in prison. He said people used to do that. Yeah.
I bet you did.
Yeah, I knew a bloke, yeah. I knew a boy who was in prison. Not a scumbag.
No.
just falling on hard times.
I'm going to let you go, finish your wine, and go off to
your gig. Is that acceptable for the radio? Well, we talked about it.
It's fucking great, mate.
Cool.
It's mostly podcasts for my yeah, and some selected highlights for the wireless.
Beautiful.
Thank you. So glad you and Ross are still great.
Yeah, and we're definitely, so when's is it best after, probably after festival.
We'll
stay in touch and we'll, if you're doing any podcasting or anything and you want anyone to give me a yell during the fest.
I'm producing a show in the festival, did I tell you?
I think so. Who is it? Whose show is it?
Shirley Hood. She's a lady who won Deadly a couple of years ago.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so I've got that kind of first festival nerves, weirdly.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll go and see. What time's it on?
It's on at 6.
Oh, good. I'll be able to see that because I'm on at 7:30. So.
Well, that would be unreal if you can ever get in there. But, yeah, so I'm nervous. I just want to get that up and running and then I can think about everything else in life.
Yeah, great. And, all right, well, we'll keep talking and we'll get you over for some vegetarian dinner.
Wow. And I'm going to have a look at I'm going to have to see the whiteboard, mate. I'm going to...
Yeah, no, it's there. Yeah. I can. It's got books, good son, hair trimmer, Wikipedia, showreel, agent, accountant, buy more books. That's
great.
My side, and then there's Roz's side. But yeah, my side's the important side.
Her side's like headstand for ages.
Headstand for ages. Yeah. Love Fleet. Pay attention to Fleet. Pretend to
buy more wine.
Buy more wine. God. He's drinking it all. and get over your breakdown.
All right, I'm gonna go. Love you.
I love you too. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye, Dom.
Okay, it's time for Dave Husey Hughes.
Good.
Good. You'll hear a few beeps because I'm recording you on my phone.
All right, brilliant. I'm just, all good.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm about to get some lunch and then go into the radio. I'm just in Lennox Street. So where are you? You're at home? Or?
I'm just heading home now from the radio. So I just missed you.
Cool.
We just did Melissa McCarthy interview, so I'm running late.
Fun?
Yeah, she was awesome. She was so kind, and she must be sick to death of talking about it, but good.
Well, you know, it's a good movie. I thought it was funny. I didn't see all of it, so I had to go somewhere, but, yeah, she's in really good form, I would say.
Same. I thought it was perfect. It was peak Melissa McCarthy, I thought.
She's a winner, you know. As I said to her, I think she's the number one movie comedy star in the world right now. So
yeah,
good
nice.
Effort, isn't it?
Now, here's a segue for you. Somebody asked me the other day who the biggest comic in Australia was, and I said it was you. Do you reckon?
Right.
I think that's about right.
That sounds conceited by saying that, but, you know, Carl Barron sells my tickets. There's no doubt about that. So,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I mean, like, I appreciate you saying that. That's lovely. So, look, I'm probably the most well-known. Doesn't mean you sell the most tickets, though. Do you know what I mean? So.
It doesn't. But I just said in the intro to this podcast that, you know, it's festival season all around Australia, which means for a lot of people they just see a lot more photos of you than usual in their in their city centre and in their newspapers and stuff like that.
My face screams comedy, so hopefully I think that might help other people sell tickets. They see my guy, God, I was sitting in, but we'll go see someone else.
No, you've had some stunning photo shoots. That GQ one from whenever that was, man, what a handsome photo shoot. Did you love it?
Look, I think that, you know, I mean, I think that I genuinely think that I've got more handsome as I've got older.
I agree.
I was starting from a low base, so, but yeah, I'm happy. I don't know what it is. I think my features are growing. As you get older, you know, every feature grows, and I think that's sort of, they're turning into where they should be. So,
it's funny, because I've been looking at your features for over 20 years, and I agree with you. I think you're like a fine bottle of wine, Cusy.
Look, thank you, Michelle. And you look great, too, by the way.
Thanks, you didn't have to say
you're on the billboards, too, right?
Yeah, no worries. Hey, how is it go for you doing publicity? Like, when you're now talking to people all over the country about your show, do you get sick of it? Do you find new ways to make it interesting for yourself?
I don't knock anyone back if they've got any interest in me, to be honest, because any dude, you know, some uni student's got his own blog that he's doing, I'll do an interview with anyone because I'm happy with anyone taking an interest in me. And, you know, I don't do that much publicity because, well, as you probably know, once you're aligned to one sort of network, radio network in particular, no one else will talk to you, really. So
that's true, yeah.
Yeah, and your own network, Siggy, as well. So I don't do that much publicity. But, I'm up for a photo in the paper if anyone wants to talk to me. I don't get sick of talking about myself, surprisingly.
Yeah. Well, I know you never get tired of people recognising you, which is, I think, I'm going to err on the side of generous. Of you rather than anything else?
deeply insecure. Yeah, look, I don't. I don't. I'm happy for, you know, as we're talking, a woman just walked past me and gave me that look, like that OMG look, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I respect this interview too much to stop talking to you to get a photo with her, but, it, you know, I certainly would have. If we hadn't been talking, I would have got a photo with her. So, yeah, I'm happy. And I might, you know, if someone gets a photo with you, they might put it on their social media and hopefully talk you up and someone else might come and see you or something. So, I think it's any interaction with the public, you know, can be a good PR moment if you treat it the right way, and I'm happy to interact.
I just saw, when I was sitting downstairs at the hotel for my Melissa McCarthy interview, I saw Stephen Dennis, you know, he played Paul on Neighbours.
Of course.
And he walked past and he looked at me very, very much as though he wanted me to recognise him. And then he cut more than one lap of reception down there. And
I do that as well.
Really?
I mean, I'm
heartbroken. Really?
I'm heartbroken when people don't. Well, look, I live in St Kilda, and there's a stack of backpackers who breeze into town, and they do not know me. So, you know, I just don't get the service I get at other places, you know, in my home suburb, which is really disappointing. Recently, I ordered a coffee, and I'm sitting down, and I thought I had a moment with the, you know, attractive waitress, and then 5 minutes later, I'm like, where's my coffee? You know, my coffee hasn't turned up. And she said, I forgot about you. I'm like, just heartbreaking. I forgot about it. From England. We got her on the radio, actually. And she was, you know, very glad to tell anyone listening that she had no idea who I was. So, you know, I got to suck it up.
I'm Husey. Did you do that one?
Not easy. Not easy. I mean, we all have our crosses to bear, you know, to carry or whatever you do with a cross.
I don't know. How are you going with the kids in terms of your fame? Like, do they... My kids are starting to say to me, I know you're famous, Mum, but you're not as famous as Taylor Swift. You know, stuff like that. I mean, where are your kids with that stuff?
Well, it certainly doesn't get me any extra respect.
No.
I mean, I think maybe because they know I'm a comedian, they think they can just mock me the whole time, you know. They do what Kate Lambrook does to me on the radio and just bloody demean me, you know, 24/7. To the point where I had the other day, I said to my son, I said, mate, are you this rude to anyone else? And he goes, no, just you. I'm like, oh, I suppose that's comforting. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm going to have to get it, you know, somehow try to get some, I don't know, conjure some fear from somewhere that I can, you know, lay down the law. So
it won't be from Kate. You two have got the most incredible relationship of any working pair I've ever observed. Like, I'm so glad you're working together again because it's like, it seems like there's a weird hole in the space-time continuum when you two aren't absolutely tormenting each other.
Yeah,
radio.
It's turned into I think we've been together so long, it's a brother sisterly relationship, and you know, there's certainly we're taking our dissing of each other to new levels.
It's full on to walk in on, mate. Marty Sheargold used to say to me, he goes, going on their show is like, it's like a cross between being interrogated and being in a boxing ring. Like, it's just terrifying. Like, you just don't know where the next jab's coming from, you know?
Well, Kate's the jabber. I'm forever ducking and weaving, you know? So I'm glad that someone else turns up to cop a bit of the heat every now and again. So, no, it's fun, though, yeah. And she's like, every now and again, it hasn't happened for years, I would push it too far, and I wouldn't realise, and I'd say something, and then I'd get that look, oh, my God, I've gone too far there. It's like,
can you go too far with Kate?
Well, you can't, not as much anymore. You used to be able to, but not anymore, really. So, I mean, having touched wood, I'll say that now, and today I'll say something ridiculous and get in trouble. So, no, we're getting more comfortable as the years roll on, which is good.
You sound disappointed that it's harder
these days. Yeah, no, believe me, in the moment I'm not disappointed. Her brother came in the other day. He was meant to bring some massive bloody... her mother won something on Sale of the Century, the quiz show years ago. Some massive punch bowl, and he was meant to bring it down from Queensland for 80th birthday party, and we brought him into the studio, and we thought he'd have it with him, and he didn't have it with him, and like he thought it was funny, but it wasn't. It was not. He had his whole family with him, his wife and three adult children. Yeah. And it was at the end of the show on a Friday, and it ended really weird. And then after the we're off air, and I said, guys, I'm just going to go now. I must have been there. she still has the fire when she wants to bring it out.
I bet. Oh, God, I'm getting scared just thinking about it. Now, before I let you go, I've got to tell you that I spoke to some kids the other day who were doing their first comedy festival shows, and we got onto the subject of how great comedy is because you can roll up to do a gig and find yourself at a gig with an idol. Like, when I was a young comic, I might get to the Prince Pat and find out Judith Lucy was on that night as well, you know?
Absolutely.
And the three of them said, yeah, when they get to a gig and find out Husey's on, it's really exciting. And they said, particularly at this time of year before the comedy festival, you might jag Husey trying out material. And isn't that great?
It is great. I'm doing it more and more, actually. I really, as you know, I love stand-up comedy, and I've been just popping into different venues all over town, and that's the thrill of it still right there for me every single night. Yeah, and I'm happy to hang out with young comics. There's a lot of funny people around, so, you know, which is, and it's good to think that gives them a thrill, because I'm bloody thrilled to be there just as much as they are.
Yeah, nice. Do you remember who it was when you were a young comic? Who used to show up to gigs to see that?
Yeah, it was Russell Gilbert and Eric Banner, I reckon.
Yeah.
The first couple, my God, here they are, they're in the room. So, yeah, it was... it was amazing. You think I'm going to share the stage with someone who's a TV star, and it was, it was brilliant. It was brilliant to tell your friends you're on the same bill as those guys, and, Glenn Robbins as well, and Judith Lucy, definitely.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
I'll let you go and have your lunch so you can get into work. Thank you so much. I know the show's called sweet, right? And then we've got Melbourne left. Anywhere else after Melbourne?
Melbourne, Sydney and Perth are on sale. So Melbourne, Sydney, Perth. You can go to davehughes.com.au and you know what, mate, you know, I'm not Carl Barron, so there is still tickets available, right? Come along.
Let's help him outsell Carl Barron. And if you see him in the street in any of those cities, please get your photo taken with him. It really makes his day.
Yeah, people say, I'm sorry to bother you. No, you're bothering me when you just walk past, all right? Getting the photo's not bothering me.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
Good on you, Michelle. Bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, please thank Tommy Little, Tripod, Al Murray, Peter Hellyer, Will Anderson, Greg Fleet and Husey. Get out and see some live comedy, guys. Wherever you are around Australia, there's comedy to be seen. We rely on you. Without you, there'd be none of us. And imagine life without none of us. Wouldn't that be awful? I'm Michelle Laurie. This has been the Nitty Gritty Committee. Thank you so much for downloading. Please feel free to go to my Facebook page and give me some suggestions of other people you'd like to hear in the committee, on the committee. Sorry, I'm a bit giddy from chatting with all my friends. Talk soon. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.